At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.
UNC mowed down Michigan State starting with about 5 minutes left in the first half. I will admit it did take them about 15 minutes of feeling it out, of seeing what Michigan State was going to do, and then they said, all right, let's go. They took the best punch that Michigan State had to offer, still came out at the end of the game looking like one of the best bets to win the national championship. That's pretty darn good. With 5 minutes left in the first half, right? Because if there's a lot of just box score watching, as you know, as much as everybody would like to just plant themselves and grow roots into their couch watching every game over a four-day span, occasionally you have to like take the trash out, you got to pick the kids up from school, you got to, I don't know, catch a nap. So there is a lot of like, oh, how's my bracket doing? Let me refresh. And if you just saw the final score of UNC Michigan State, you probably have been like, huh, smoked them. Which isn't wholly inaccurate, but with 5 minutes left in the first half, Michigan State was winning 28-27.
And I think Carolina at one point was down, if I remember correctly, 28-17.
Yes. Actually.
It was an 11 or 12-point game.
Which goes to show you the run that UNC went on.
Yeah.
So what happened in that very moment, or actually let me ask you this question. What happened between that very moment where Michigan State looked like the better team through at least half of the first half and the end of the game when UNC was comfortably ahead and cruising to an 85-69 victory? What was the big difference? I've got a really detailed answer for you. Not much. Not much. I don't think they, like, sometimes there is that big dramatic, eureka moment that a coaching staff has where it's like, they can't stop us in the post. And from that point on, it's just dominant. Or, like, RJ Davis is having a good day. Let's run him off 900 screens. And then sometimes it's just they looked at the game and said, you know what? I think we're the better team. It's just, you know, small sample size, fluky stuff has happened early. They've hit some shots. If we keep executing our game plan, we're going to be good to go.
I remember when Hubert Davis had his in-game interview with CBS, and he immediately, I forget her name, just cut her off. It's like, we just got to be more aggressive. Like, we have to be more aggressive. We need to attack. And that's when you started seeing things turn around because of that slow start. Before you know it, they're pushing the ball in transition. They're going after rebounds harder. And before you know it, they make that, 17-0 run?
Let's hear from Hubert. Hubert Davis on what allowed them to storm back.
Well, we started to compete. I mean, they punched first. Their physicality, their will, their want to, the first 10 minutes of the game just overwhelmed us. They were catching the ball wherever they wanted to, close to the basket, on the block. They were getting layups, second chance opportunities defensively. They were pushing us off of our screens, our spots. They just were playing better than us. And, you know, we came into the huddle and I said, look, we can't talk about any basketball stuff until we join the fight. And once that started, the level of play in terms of the energy and effort, attention to detail rose, then that's when things started to change. And, you know, we always talk about how do you react and how do you respond? And these guys, the whole team, reacted and responded the right way after going down, was it 14 in the first half?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. There wasn't some tactical change. It was, listen, guys, play better. Call a timeout to say, like, guys, what are you? Just compete. And here's the thing. With UNC, with so many guys that are so proven, right? Players, you know, I said it earlier, they have 560-some-odd games of experience in just their starting five. When you have that much proven, you know, you're pretty confident they're going to wake up at some point, right? Hubert Davis didn't have to do anything special to wake up Harrison Ingram or to wake up Armando Bacot or RJ Davis. These are elite competitors that you're pretty confident. If you give them, maybe they started with their worst 10 minutes of the game, but you're pretty confident their worst 10 minutes won't be replicated by the same bad 10 minutes, and they're eventually going to pick it up. By the end of the first half, so right, with 5 minutes left, they were still trailing. That feels ridiculous. Based on what we know at the end of the game, they're trailing 5 minutes before half. By the end of the first half, RJ Davis hit a three, Harrison Ingram hit a three, Cormac Ryan hit a three, Armando Bacot hit a couple free throws, had a bunch of rebounds. Nothing there is out of the ordinary. That's what those guys do, right? You will not hear me go, oh, geez, RJ Davis hit a three? It's like, well, I've watched him all season, and pretty much what he does when he needs a bucket is gets open from the perimeter and knocks it down.
He was a first-team All-American for a reason.
ACC Player of the Year for a reason. Cormac Ryan. What Cormac Ryan does is hunt for his three. Didn't shoot it well early in the year. The past month and a half, he's been pretty darn good. Harrison Ingram can do a little bit of everything. If the game called for him to shoot threes, I'm not going to be surprised that he knocked down a three. And then there's Armando Bacot rebounding and going to the free throw line. That's just doing what they do at a slightly higher level than they were doing it. By the way, it was nice to see Harrison Ingram get going again. You know, it felt like a big three again for the last, I don't know, two and a half games. It was kind of RJ Davis and Bacot and then everybody else. Harrison Ingram, it felt like, was back in that top three again. Let's hear from Armando Bacot, solidified in the top three, on Harrison Ingram stepping up.
Games like these, when it gets real rowdy and physical and it's in the trenches, we know these are hairy type of games. So it was no doubt in our mind that he would really show up a big time for us and hit big shots. And the way he defended today was amazing for us. And, I mean, we don't win that without him.
I want to know what it's like to play like ping pong with Harrison Ingram. Because everybody in the North Carolina program, when they talk about him, can't do anything but reference how, like, when the game gets chippy, we know Harrison's going to be there. When they start talking trash, it's always Harrison in the middle of it, right? When the game, like, I want to know what it's like to play like, I'm sure he's the guy, and this is just inferring based on how competitive and how much he enjoys the back and forth that everybody tells me he enjoys. I bet you he's a guy that's like calling shotgun before the meal's over. You know what I mean? Like, and then arguing with the rules. I could see the car through the window, so you're allowed to call shotgun. Like, he's that guy. He doesn't lose it much. So when Michigan State started chirping a little bit and you start seeing Harrison Ingram chirp back, it's not a situation where, you know, Bacot or Davis, as the vets on the team, are running over going like, man, chill. They're sitting there with a smirk on their face like, you sure you want to do this, Sparty? You sure you want to wake them up, Izzo and crew? That's the best thing North Carolina has going for them. They know exactly who they are, and they don't panic. How many times in the last 2 months have we said the game was close at half, and then they pulled away? How many times have I used the analogy that they are Frankenstein in an old school horror movie chasing down the protagonists, where the protagonists are running away, armed like high knees, arms pumping, sprinting, and there's Frankenstein behind him. You just see his shadow walking. Step, maybe arms out and like that true Frankenstein posture, just stepping. Yet somehow he's moving faster than they are. He's getting closer than they are. That's what North Carolina does, right? It's halftime. The opposing team feels like, hey, we're in this. They may be a top five team in the country, but we're playing with them. We're in the mix. And then here comes Frankenstein. And they're just plodding along, doing what they do, not changing their stride, not doing anything crazy, but they're just chasing you down. And then all of a sudden, they're in front of you. And then all of a sudden, they're ahead by 10. And then they're ahead by 17. And then you're hugging your seniors on the sideline, saying it was a good run. We really appreciate everything you did for the program. And UNC is cruising to a win. I mean, it's that crazy.
I mean, that basically happened in the first half against Michigan State. Remember, they were down, what, 14? You know,
by half
14
time.
Points. Then by half, they're up 40-31. Like, just seconds after Harrison Ingram hits a three-pointer to extend the lead even further. And I'm sure Michigan State was like, we threw our best haymaker and we're down by nine. Like, what more do we do?
How did we let this happen, right? It's just like the horror movies. How? What? Well, we locked the door. How? What? All right, well, you know. We just lost two of our friends. Now we got to figure out what to do. They just know exactly who they are. And part of that is experience, right? You're not going to see Cormac Ryan miss two threes and suddenly think he's, you know, a slasher, right? He's going to go, all right, I missed two threes. Guess what? Pretty confident the next two are going to go in. You're not going to see Armando Bacot, right? I thought it was funny after senior day, Armando Bacot hit him with, like, I'm a 3-and-D guy now, because he made two threes, which were, you know, career threes, number 4 and 5 for him. And he's like, I'm a 3-and-D guy now. There's no real, like, that was obviously a joke, and it was a joke when he said it. But every, like, he knows, like, I'm Armando Bacot. I get rebounds. I'm the all-time leading UNC rebounder. And I score down low, and I get fouled. RJ Davis is not like, I'm going to try to dunk on somebody. It's like, well, if you do, nice, but really, you're a perimeter threat, and you're going to do perimeter threat things. Mowed down Michigan State after that slow start.
I think Harrison Ingram's 5 threes were a career high, if I remember correctly, for him.
I can remember a 4. You're probably right. I think at least is UNC high.
Yeah.
At least is UNC high. Who knows what happened at Stanford? Eh. Although that's an ACC program.
That's an ACC legend now.
Yeah, I was going to say, now I'm a... I'm obviously pro-ACC, so I got to start defending Stanford. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete of Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, is it still true that $1 million is enough to retire on?
Tim, maybe and maybe not. The most important thing is to get a real plan that gives you income you never outlive. We'll give that away to the next 10 people. Call right now.
The number to call, 800-691-3215. Text TIM to 600-700 if you're interested in texting. Once again, that phone number is 800-691-3215 or text TIM to 600-700 for that deal. One of the teams we just brought up that'll be playing on Friday, Duke. I would say rolled over Vermont and then destroyed James Madison.
Put the boots to JMU.
They're playing, meaning Duke, playing their best basketball of the year. And if you had to choose what time to play your best basketball, this is going to be draft pick number one in the NCAA tournament.
They beat JMU so bad, their coach left and took another job.
Actually, to go over what we were just talking about, their coach was hugging seniors early in that game.
Oh, yeah.
He was the Duke walk-ons and bench players got some run. They got normally you're lucky if you get like one attempt as the guy off the bench getting the blowout run. They got like a couple up and downs. They got to play some defense, settle into the game, get a nice sweat working. That game was over early. They did about as well as you like. I'm just so you know, Duke fans, another shoe is going to drop here. They did as well as they could controlling Vermont and smoking James Madison, which is as good as you can do. And I would not ever suggest that you don't smoke a team if you have the ability to run them out of the gym, right? Always choose that. If there's the option, choose the winning by 30. I never understood the people that were like, you know, oh, it's you know, better to be in a close game than a blowout. It's more fun. I'm going to win, which was the best and easiest way to win. So you did what you should have done, Duke. But also, it doesn't really disprove my biggest concern for you. And it's a concern that I've been on the record for months having about Duke, which is your toughness, your edge, your grit, whatever you want to call it, which is most obviously shown in a close game, one possession, two possessions down the stretch where every play matters, where you can't whine to the ref, where you have to just go. If you get two hands on the ball, it has to be yours against a good team with as much talent as you have, or at least close to as much talent as you have. Duke looked ready to play. I'm not knocking them for it. And there's nothing you can do if the team you get drawn in the second round is James Madison, a team that you just inherently have a bunch more talent than. James Madison was a very good team. They played together. They played hard. You could tell it was a good program. There's a reason why Vanderbilt wants their coach. But also, at a certain point, you got a 7-2 NBA player down low. You have a absolute flamethrower of maybe the greatest freshman shooter in the country this year in Jared McCain, and there's just nothing James Madison can do with that. They don't have the counter. Here's John Shire on the team being ready to play.
James Madison, you know, you're playing a team that has 3 losses the whole year, and they had a really impressive performance against Wisconsin, and I don't know if we expected this, but I just thought our guys came out with such a great competitiveness, and they're obviously ready to play, ready, not just ready to play, you have to be ready to compete in these games. And everybody that was on the floor, I felt, had that. It helps, you know, when you have a guy like Jared McCain, you know, he broke the Duke record today for threes in the NCAA tournament. We've had some pretty good shooters here. And so to break that record with eight, I'm sure he's mad at me for taking him out early.
You want me to get the record?
he's going to be mad at me. He wanted to be in there more, but he had a great way about him, obviously.
Yeah, when you have a future first-round draft pick complaining that he didn't get to stay in the game to break more records because you were ahead by a bunch, sometimes you roll the talent out and the talent is good enough. Duke's mental edge is easily the thing that concerns me about them the most, and you prove that, the only way you can prove that you fix that, or that you have more of that, or that I misdiagnosed you as a team that doesn't have mental toughness, is in close games against talented teams. With one caveat, right? There's always the one trapdoor, the one loophole. Unless you're able to pull off the most baller strategy of all, which is just to avoid close games, right? Unless you're able to say, yeah, maybe we're not great at closing games where every play matters and it gets more physical and the refs swallow their whistle and you need to physically dominate your opponent. So why don't we just avoid the close games and win everything by double digits? That is an option. It is darn near impossible, but it is an option.
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medication secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.
So when I was looking to transfer, it was a lot of one-on-one, and it didn't feel like I got lost in a huge university because I knew that if I came here, there was going to be someone I could talk to about every aspect of the courses I needed to take, but also too, I loved the smaller classroom sizes, and I liked how interactive and immersive all of the learning was going to be. It wasn't just going to be me sitting in a room with a couple hundred people and a professor who didn't know my name.
To find out more about transferring to William Peace University, visit peace.edu.
I promised another Adam Sandler movie reference earlier. Here you go. Happy Gilmore, right? There's the moment where he doesn't know how to putt, and he gets very frustrated. You may remember the scene. What are you, too good for your hole? You know the one. And then he makes a hole-in-one on a par four. He hits it like a 430-yard hole-in-one, and he looks at his coach, Chubbs, the late, great Carl Weathers, and he says, that's so much easier than putting. Maybe I should just do that every time. He's talking about hitting a hole in one every time because he doesn't like putting. If you can pull it off, it'll work, right? Even Chubb says, I think that's a good strategy, Happy, right? Like, if you can pull it off, it'll work, but it's nearly impossible. So the Duke could try, right? Winning by 30 is so much easier than having to close the game out with free throws and tough play down the stretch. So why don't we just win by 30 every time? Good strategy, Happy. If you can't do that, then yeah, you're going to have to do the things that are winning basketball down the stretch. You're going to have to do the things that you couldn't do against NC State in the ACC tournament. You're going to have to do the things that you couldn't do against UNC in either game during the regular season. You're going to have to do the things that require a bit of mental edge and toughness that we haven't seen from you this year. Or, you know, Dennis uses this a lot, right? Unless you're going to do it, right?
Unless you're going to do it.
You can't win by double figures in every game unless you're going to do it, right? And that would be the all-time run. It would be an all-time move from a team that I think might need to. Do you know what would help a lot in their quest to win every game by a bunch?
What's that?
If Jared McCain shoots like he shot against.
Yeah, he'd make 8 3-pointers a game. Yeah, that's going to help.
But also the confidence of it, right? He made the first one, and you can tell in his eyes he was like, oh, this is different than the ACC tournament, right? When I bumped my head and I couldn't see as soon as it went in. And by the way, I predicted a game like that. I was one game early. I thought it was going to happen against Vermont. I did it on the show on Friday. I said he's going to want to remind everybody he's a better shooter than that, and his eye, the swelling will have gone down, and he'll know what it looks like. it happened. It just happened against James Madison. As soon as that first one went in, it was like, ooh, right? You ready for another movie reference that nobody will see coming? The Australian shark in Nemo, when he sniffs in the blood and he's like, ooh, that's good. Soon as Jared McCain had that first one go in, it was, ooh, that's good. And then he was hunting for him, right? And then on fast breaks, he's not running to the bucket for a layup. He's running to one of his spots on the perimeter and waiting for them to set him up. When he tosses it into the post, he's not looking to set a screen and relocate. He's looking to get lost in the shuffle and catch it on the perimeter and knock it down. And guess what? Knock it down, he did. If he can do that, yeah, I think they could blow out a lot of teams. And they're playing a one seed. They have Houston coming up. But, you know, like, Houston's going to have the talent. They're going to have the coaching. They're going to, you know, have all the things that can test their toughness, unless Jared McCain isn't missing from the perimeter, in which case they might win that one by double figures. I wouldn't bank on 8 threes again from a freshman, but it's possible. I mean, there's a reason why I call him maybe the best freshman shooter in the country.
Again, unless you're going to do it.
Unless he's going to do it. Let's hear from McCain on that moment, that ooh, that's so good moment, when he knew he was feeling it.
I feel like every game I'm always ready to see if I'm going to go off. I work so hard, so I'm just prepared every game. I do blame him a little bit for sure. He definitely just wants to keep that record. Yeah, I wanted to beat him, so.
It's not mine. He's talking about the points record. You know, that's what he's talking about.
I just
want
to be him, really. That's really all my goal is in life, is to be him. But, yeah, that's really it.
I'll tell you right now. And that's a perfect example. It's funny, right? He's talking back and forth with Shire about the records that they Shire holds and McCain might one day hold and all these things. Have you ever seen a freshman more comfortable? He is who he is. He is comfortable in his own skin, but also, like, he's playing in the NCAA tournament. He's joking around with his coach. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, only paying attention to the teams in the triangle, and every freshman across the country is that comfy, but it just seems like he's unrattleable, and he's had that all year. Again, I'm on the record throughout the year saying it. They need some edge, but they have the comfort. I'll give them that much.
At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.